What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 197. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about delays in the second dose of antibiotic for septic patients. Answer the drug information question, is it okay to give lactated ringers to a septic patient with elevated lactate? And share a resource for learning about rare disorders. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode197. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article discussed in this episode is titled Delayed Second Dose Antibiotics for Patients Admitted from the Emergency Department with Sepsis, Prevalence, Risk Factors, and Outcomes. The lead author is Daniel Leisman, and this was published in Critical Care Medicine, June 2017. A tremendous focus has been placed on the timely delivery of the first dose of antibiotic for patients with sepsis. But patients in the emergency department face a transition of care as they're admitted to the hospital around the time their second dose of antibiotic may be due. This study is the first to examine the effects of the timeliness of the second antibiotic dose.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
The study was a retrospective single-center cohort study of a consecutive group of patients admitted from the emergency department with sepsis or septic shock. The authors determined a delay occurred if the second antibiotic dose was delayed more than 25% of the dosing interval. More than 800 patients were included in the study. One-third of the patients experienced a significant delay in administration of the second dose of antibiotic. The authors conducted a pre-specified analysis to determine factors that were associated with antibiotic delay. A shorter dosing interval length, inpatient boarding in the ED, initial sepsis bundle compliance, and advanced age were all associated with antibiotic delay. Dosing intervals of 6 and 8 hours accounted for 85% of the patients with delayed second antibiotic dosing. A delay in second antibiotic dose was associated with an increased odds ratio for in-hospital mortality and need for mechanical ventilation. The authors concluded major second dose delays were common, especially for patients given shorter half-life pharmacotherapies and who boarded in the emergency department. They were paradoxically more frequent for patients receiving compliant initial care. We observed association between major second dose delay and increased mortality, length of stay, and mechanical ventilation requirement. Before adopting changes in antibiotic selection, I would repeat a small version of this study locally. If you find delays in the administration of the second dose of antibiotic for septic patients admitted from the ED, consider looking at a systems approach to eliminate the delay. Choosing initial antibiotics that have a longer dosing interval of 12 or 24 hours may be one way to reduce delays to the second dose of antibiotic. The drug information question for this episode is it okay to give lactated ringers to a septic patient with elevated lactate? The answer is yes. Lactated ringers is considered a suitable fluid for resuscitation in sepsis. It is true that lactated ringers will increase the measured serum lactate, but this will not have a deleterious effect on the patient. The lactate found in lactated ringers is not lactic acid, rather it's sodium lactate. And this form of lactate will not increase the blood acidity. Since lactated ringers is a crystalloid solution, it will increase blood volume and directly treat the cause of elevated lactate and sepsis. And the resource for this episode is the National Organization for Rare Disorders Physician Guides. The online physician guides from NORD, the National Organization for Rare Disorders, are a free service, and it's purpose is to provide a resource for clinicians about specific rare disorders to facilitate the timely diagnosis and treatment of their patients. There are about 18 disorders that have guides currently. I find particularly useful the guide on hereditary angioedema, since there are a few patients locally that have that disease in my area. You can find a link to the physician guides at the end of the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode197. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.